The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. These are the words of Christ. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as I, the living Father, sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things while they were teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of Jesus' disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware the disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe, and who was the one who would betray him. And Jesus said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with Jesus. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This December 31st, as the clock approaches midnight, North Battleford will embark upon a year-long celebration. It will be the centennial of our city. We have a committee. I am thankful for them. We have a logo. We have events beginning to take form. We have announcements. We have excitement brewing. And hopefully, we will also have a narrative. Why are we giving thanks for this arbitrary date of 100 years? I've done some informal polling throughout the community this week, asking people about why this is exciting. So it's our 100-year anniversary coming up, I asked. What does this mean? They look at me like I'm an idiot. It means we're 100 years old. But why is that in and of itself important? When I ask that question, I tend to get a blank stare in return. We accept that being 100 is a big deal. If we're a human being and we live to 100, that is a big deal. If our community reaches 100 years old, that is a big deal. But why is it a big deal? What lies behind this magical number of 100, the centennial, that causes us to plan events and celebrations, that causes us to have a logo and a planning committee and all sorts of joy and celebration? What does 100 years represent? Does a 100-year anniversary or a 100-year birthday simply mean that we have attained something? That we've managed to stick it out and reach this magical number? Is plastering 100 on us simply saying to the world that we are survivors, that yes, we made it? I think it means something more. Surely we have done more as a community than simply just exist, than simply just keep our heads down and stay out of trouble. As we reach 100, we do well to look at history. Ask ourselves how we attained this anniversary. How did we get to where we are? In the census of 1911, North Battleford had 2,106 people. In the census of 1996, we had 13,556 people. How did we get to this point? How did you come to be here? How did I come to be here? I believe it's through sacrifice. I believe this is a community like many communities, like families, that are born through sacrifice. That people have given of themselves, of their time, of their possessions, and their skills for the betterment of others. That we did not live as simple, solitary people in community, but that we gave. And in the process of giving, our time and talents and possessions, we created. We created structures and buildings and schools and roads and service organizations. We created a history. And it is a history that we come to a centennial that we are part of now. That we look forward to extend. As North Battleford, our slogan, our logo, our text line as a city is emblazoned upon the flowers as you come into it on the highway. We, it says, are not the gateway to the north. That's Prince Albert. We are a community of volunteers. The act of volunteering is the act of giving. It is the act of giving your energy and your passions and your resources to the betterment of your community. History is important because history tells us how we got to where we are, that we are not solitary individuals. And that means something. It means that your life is important. It means that my life is important. It means that what I do is part of a grander narrative. The ball has been passed to us. For those who have labored on committees, for those who have written checks, for those who dream big dreams, they have passed the ball to us. And we stand here at the 100-year mark and we wonder, what will we do? If we have no regard for the history of our community, if we have no regard for how we got here and who we are, we can drop the ball. Who cares about others? Who cares about children? Who cares about our school system? Who cares about recreation and leisure activities? Who cares about how beautiful our city looks? All I care about is my yard, my house, and my life. And if that's our view, it stops with us. And I can only imagine what the 200-year anniversary looks like. Decaying schools, crumbling civic features, potted roads, who knows? But it won't look like this one, that's for sure. Because we are a community of volunteers. History is important, and history has meaning. As we come to our reading from 1 Kings today, we see Solomon dedicating the temple. David, his father, starts this temple vision, starts working with God, starts forming things out of gold, but David does not build the temple. Solomon builds the temple, and now they're having their temple dedication service. Solomon comes to the altar. He brings the gifts of the Israelite nation, and what does he do? Oh God, you are so great. You helped me build this temple. Thank you for all these golden bowls. Thank you for the sheep and the cows. And the... No. Solomon recounts history. Oh Lord my God, you are the God of our ancestors. You are the God of Abraham. You are the God of Jacob. You are the God that brought us through the wilderness. You are the God that gave us land. You are the God that sustains us. And you are the God that will see us forward. Because Solomon knows that the history of his people is also their future. That the same God that rescued them from Egypt, the same God that took them to the desert, and the same God that gave them this land will be the same God that sees to their future. That they are part of a larger narrative. A narrative that starts as Abraham looks at the sky and says, "See those stars? That will be your descendants. See the sand on the beach? That will be your descendants. You will be a nation. And you will be protected. No matter what comes. Times of trouble. Times of famine. Times of drought. Times of war. No matter what comes, God says, I will be with you. And I have started this journey and this walk with you. And the minute that you forget about this journey, the minute you forget about where you are going, the minute that you forget about your history, you will feel lost, you will feel alone, and you will feel without hope. Because you have nothing to rely upon. You are a single, solitary person. And all you have to rely on is yourself. Because you are not part of a larger narrative. You are not part of a grand story. You are not an actor in a larger play. But you are an individual. and all your hope and all your comfort and all your support is found in you. And we know how fragile, we know how given to fear, we know how given to doubt, we know how given to despair we are. When the answers don't come and the help seems slow in arriving and the answers aren't in our head, we fall. We turn our back and we walk away. We feel alone, disheveled, and without hope. But I know that as a person of Jesus Christ, I am part of a larger story. We sit here in Zion Lutheran Church, and we do not sit here as individuals, but we sit here as a community in the body of Christ. People have sacrificed to put these walls beside us, this floor under our feet, this roof over our heads, and that means something to me. Those people face hard times. They face times of prosperity, and they face times of famine. They face times of hardship, and they face times of joy, but they kept moving the ball forward. And now they pass the ball to me and to you, and I know that as I move it forward, as God bless them, as they probably gathered in church council meetings 30 years ago and wonder, how are we going to pay this bill? How are we going to fix this leaky roof? How are we going to get new furnaces? What will the future look like? Will we ever find a pastor? They made it through. And here we sit today. And I know that when the same problems befall us, and the same problems always do, we can take heart in the words of St. Paul from Ephesians today, that we put on the armor of God, that we not the sword of despair smote us down, but that we let problems bounce off us. That we realize this is God's church. That as God inspired and equipped people before us, God will inspire and equip us today. That we're not doing this all alone. That we're not left to our own devices and our own gifts and our own skills and our own ingenuity and our own intelligence to keep this thing going forward. Because if that's all we see our goal in life, to keep this thing going forward, then we've lost part of our historical narrative. We have become individuals, just trying to protect what is ours. Not worried about the community outside our walls, the city in which we live, the world in which we call home. We're just worried about ours and keeping what we have. And for me, that's a story without hope. That's a church that celebrates a 100-year anniversary, but it's not really sure what it's giving thanks for. We're simply surviving. As a city celebrates the centennial, what does it give thanks for? Surviving? No. It gives thanks for sacrifice. It gives thanks for the dedication of others who have gone before us so that we can enjoy what we have now. This city is filled with tributes to those who have sacrificed and who have given. If you go to the RCMP detachment and you go into the boardroom, little 8x10 pictures line, there's probably, I don't know, 60 of them, of various commanders, all the way dating back 150 years ago, who have sacrificed to bring law, order, peace. If you go to the mall, we have our great wall of fame. People who have sacrificed for the battlefields. If you go to City Hall, you see mayors and councillors. People who have sacrificed for the battlefields. If you go to the Ag Society, you see names on buildings for people who have sacrificed for the betterment of the community. You go to the swimming pool. You go to a gym. You go to a school. It doesn't matter where you go. We recognize the hospital. Those who have sacrificed. And we follow in their footsteps. And that means something. And today we have Christ coming in with a teaching. A teaching that seems vulgar. A teaching that seems corporal. Talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. It's a teaching that's analogy. It's allegory. It's metaphor. It talks about a deeper meaning about communing with Christ. That He lives in us and that we live in Him and that we are filled with the power of His endless life. It's a teaching that binds us in community. It's a teaching that speaks of communion. The word communion and community are related. Before I was here, I was a pastor in Kyle. I talked about this. One thing I haven't talked about, I was a pastor of a small country church. It was called Horse Butte Zion Lutheran Church. Literally in the middle of a farmer's field, 15 miles from Kyle. There's something about that church that I loved. Lots of things, but one thing in particular. It was a small little altar like this, not much bigger than this altar here, a small little area. And what it had was a round communion railing. You might remember these communion railings. Big round communion railing went around like this way. People would come up, kneel for communion. But guess where that railing went? All the way back behind the church to the cemetery. So we knew that as we gathered for communion, we gathered with those who have gone before us. That means something. We are joined together in this mystical body of Christ. That we are not alone. That those who have sacrificed and gone before us, mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and friends and saints and sinners in the church, all of us are bound together and we're part of a larger narrative. And it is the narrative that is moving us forward to the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. Yes, we will trip and stumble upon the way. Yes, we will have times of doubt and anguish and despair and death. But ultimately, we are being pulled along by this story. There is this magnetic pull that is taking us, that will see us through any of these problems, that we are never left alone, and we are never making forward progress towards the kingdom of God. But it's difficult. It's difficult to recognize that we're moving forward when we feel like we're alone. If we stop being in communion with the church, if we stop being in communion with Christ, if we stop being in communion with our fellow brothers and sisters in faith, if we stop being in communion with our community, if we start to be an isolated island, well, we can start to shiver, shrivel, and die. We are cut off from the nourishment. We are cut off from hope. We are cut off from retelling the history of our lives. A history that gives us hope. A history that is not dead. There's a reason that we come to church every week and we read from this dusty old Bible and we talk about men and women from towns and communities and we can't pronounce their names and we don't always understand what they're saying, because these men and these women are people like us. They have families. And they have jobs, and they experience sickness, and they experience doubt, but God pulls them through. And we see them being pulled through by history. You think St. Paul, as he was being beaten and imprisoned and shipwrecked, as people were turning their back on him, as communities that he had went to and ministered to are rejecting him, you think he didn't have time to wonder, where is this all going? But we come 2,000 years later, and we see how God pulled it all forward. How God took this fallen missionary, this person rejected by the mainline church, and made him our chief prophet. Because we see God pulling forward. And we come to our lives, and you bet people will come 100 years after us, and they'll talk about Grandpa Sheldon, and Grandma Janice, or who else. And they will see God working in our lives. But do we see God working in our lives? It's hard. I see God working in my life by looking at history. I'm very bad, and you should probably fire me after this. I'm very bad at seeing God right here. Today, the last week of August 2012, what exactly is God doing? I find that very hard. I cannot stand here as a prophet and say, "Thou sayest the Lord." We need to build that, start this, do this. I don't always know. I have a hard time figuring out what God's doing right now. But when I look at my life, when I look at choices I made, when I've looked at things that I've prayed about, I can look back over it and say, yeah, God, you were there. You helped me meet my wife. You helped me raise my children. You helped me move to North Battleford. You helped me to buy this house. You helped me to make this decision. You helped me to turn away from the, whatever it may be. Then I say, wow, God, thanks be to... But where do I see God in history? Because history is important. History points us to the reality of our lives. History holds up the complete picture. History shows us where we have fallen. And history shows us where we have succeeded. And if we forget history, then we are doomed. Not doomed to repeat it, but we are simply doomed. Amen.